like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. Whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Grey Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm back with a guest who's been on the show, it seems like every couple of years, like sort of since I started doing this thing a million years ago, you've been coming back, which is rare. It's always nice to do that. I like having these kind of repeat guests because you can kind of track the progress of you know, how your career has gone
straight
as
up.
A musician.
Starting it's like a Nardwar type thing.
Totally. And like, it's really cool with you especially. And I'll get you to introduce yourself in a second, but just sort of the idea of like, when I first met you, you were just starting this project out and it was like this new thing you'd sort of, you know, embarked on, and now it's turned into this like really successful big deal of a band. So I think the best way to start this, as usual though, is for you to introduce yourself, a bit of background about who you are, what you do, and we'll go
for
from there.
Sure. I'm Jay. I make music and videos and things, and I've been doing music for a long time, like you've been saying, which is crazy that we're still here doing this shit.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. Neither of us have had the foresight to stop.
Exactly. No, we're in and out.
Yeah.
It's insane.
So I guess the timing on this one is because you have a new record that at the time we're recording this just very recently came out. And so I feel like, you know, again, like I said, watching your progress over the years has been pretty cool. Sort of to see how, not only like, you know, how much attention your albums are getting with each new release, but also the way that it's changed sonically and the way that you've sort of, you know, developed your sound and things. So I guess, first of all, with this record, I mean, what can you tell me about the album? Because it's very fresh at the time we're talking here, and people are hearing it for the first time, you know, now.
True.
Pretty much.
Yeah, this one is definitely a lot more hip-hop leaning. It's a lot more, like, production heavy. Yeah, it's like every song kind of goes into the next thing. It's like a kind of narrative concept kind of built-in thing. It's just it's a bit different. It's like pretty much getting what I tried to do on Slingshot just a bit more right on this one, let's say.
That's interesting too, because Slingshot, like, it was very acclaimed, it did very well. No. People really dug it. I mean, so
totally.
what did you feel after that came out, that there was something that hadn't like sort of achieved what you were hoping to achieve with it?
Yeah, honestly, like, I've listened back a few times, I'm like, oh, it just wasn't like cohesive enough. I felt like everything felt too like this. With this one, it just felt a little more concise, where it felt like all the songs, though they were different, they just lived in the same world, which was the thing I maybe lost sight of while working on Slingshot.
Was that something you did deliberately, like with this one? Like, did you sort of have that in mind when you were putting these songs together?
Big time. Yeah, I think I spent a lot of time this time around, like, actually, like, getting like tones and like texture was a big word this record. I was like, I have to just all give it the same texture, so it like feels like one thing rather than a bunch of different things kind of like collaged into a record type experience.
Do you have a better grasp at this point, now that you've been doing this for a while?
I know exactly what you're gonna ask.
Okay, well, you can answer the question like Jeopardy style. Like, tell me what I'm gonna ask you then.
The genre of the project.
Not necessarily the genre, but just sort of stylistically, what you call it. I mean, I guess it is a genre, but yeah, I mean, it's hard, right?
It's hard to define. I've still just called it, like, alternative. I feel like it's so funny. This is, like, this point of conversation has come up a few times now, because it's just, like, I think a lot of people, like you were saying, it's, like, every album, it reaches a whole new audience of people. And, like, this one is, like, a rap record is reaching people. So I think people assume that I'm a rapper. I'm like, well, no, yeah. I'm not actually a rapper. I think the next thing I do will sound completely different from this. And the stuff I did prior sounds very different from this. I think I kind of love the idea of just wherever I'm at, I'll do something that kind of just feels right. Like in my mind, I already know what the next thing will be, and it's probably not a rap record.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Well, maybe like a brother to that question then is like, I mean, this, whether you're switching genres, whether one's more rap, one's more, you know, pop, one's more indie rock, one's more funk and soul, whatever it is, you're combining all the genres. There's obviously a through line, though. There's like whatever the Jay Wood sound is that sort of, you know, translates from record to record, from experiment to experiment. Do you have a grasp on what that is? Like, I mean, because it sounds like you, regardless of what type of music you're playing, right?
That's cool, man. I still don't think I've quite pinned down what makes it it might be, I've asked a few people this. They say like certain chords I use, and I think certain vocal effects I use. I use like the telephone effect a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, that's definitely just been stolen from Gorillaz, but like, I definitely like have a few sounds that I just have been using throughout all my projects over the years. And I think just chords and I still haven't figured it out completely yet, but getting closer, I think.
I think the idea of using certain chords, that's an interesting way of, because that might be it. That might be what it is. I'm not sure what it is either. Like, but there's something that sounds like your stuff. I think I would recognize it sort of out of nowhere if I heard one of the songs. I would at least assume it was yours. I don't know if I'd know for sure.
That's cool.
But there'd be something about it, right? So yeah, it might be a chord thing. I don't know. There's no answer. I don't have an answer. But yeah.
Me neither, honestly. I've been trying to figure that out, but maybe it's not up to me to decide, you know?
Well, I think it's
or
not.
Maybe I need to be more deliberate. I don't know. One of the two.
Well, it seems to be working for you, this nebulousness. And I think that I use the word nebulous a lot on the show, and I think I've been trying to stop because it comes up a lot. But I do feel like you're sort of one of the most nebulous artists that I have had on here in terms of pinning down what you do. And that's cool. I mean, it's clearly you're getting interest from people who listen to hip-hop, from people who listen to different stuff. And hopefully that's like dragging them into, you know, hearing the rest of your whole thing.
Yeah, it's keeping it like, I don't know, it's just like, the discography is getting really interesting where it's like, oh, like even the live sets are getting really weird to figure out now where it's like, I guess we should put these songs together because these are all kind of rap and these ones are more poppy. It's like, okay, very interesting play that's now happening with all the songs.
Yeah. Well, and I think last time we talked too, or one of the last times we talked, I mean, the rap element was something new that you were trying. It wasn't something that had appeared on your previous recordings and you hadn't really done much of it. Like you said, this is more heading in that direction. What is it about that style that you sort of feel is something that you can express maybe differently or better in that sort of genre?
Yeah, that's a good that's a good question, Sam. I think that it was honestly just like rapping just allows for more vocals and more lyricism. I think a big emphasis this record was like trying, like Will Grierson, who was one of the engineers at Collector, was a really like, you gotta like care about lyrics this time around. I want you to care about lyrics. And I think singing songs, it's like, it's hard to like get all the ideas out. But I think with rap, I can kind of ramble. Like I'm a rambler. So it's like, I could just like riff on a bunch of ideas and hopefully get to what I'm trying to say by the end of them. So it just gives me a little more room to express myself.
No, fair enough. I like the idea of just being able to fit more words in too. I mean, just like in the 3 minutes or whatever, you can cram a lot more
exactly.
content.
Exactly. It's a little cheat code, you know?
So you're not in Winnipeg. I mean, you know, you've been in Montreal for a while now. But there's
2 years now. Crazy enough.
That is crazy. Because I mean, I think insane. Last time you were on here, you were about to move or you had just moved or something like that.
Yeah,
it was very...
I was just about to move. So 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, insane.
Do you still feel like this record is a Winnipeg record? Because looking at the credits, I mean, you know, the bunch was recorded here. You got a lot of locals playing on it.
Yeah.
I mean, as always, but and I don't know if Winnipeg record is even a thing, but like, do you consider this to be a Winnipeg record or is it, do you feel removed enough from Winnipeg now that this is something separate, like in your mind?
I feel like I would use your word and say it's kind of in the nebulous between Winnipeg and just everywhere else. It's like, I go back to Winnipeg to work because it's like, it is familiar and I have like such a good foundation there. And like, no matter what I do, because I'm from Winnipeg, it's still about Winnipeg. It's always going to be a Winnipeg record at heart.
Yeah.
It's always cool to be doing what I do being from Winnipeg because it's like, we're all just, you know, kind of setting out to do all these things representing our small city. I've been really appreciating Winnipeg lately. It's just really funny.
Is it like an absence makes the heart grow fonder kind of thing? Or
maybe,
what?
I think so. It's like 2 years away. And like every time I see glimpses of it, just like anywhere, I get like random reels of like Winnipeg, or I see people like posting on their journey and they're like, I'm from Winnipeg. I'm like, hell yeah, Winnipeg. I'm like, I was sick. I'm at that point with Winnipeg now. So yeah, I think it will always kind of feel like a Winnipeg record, just like a more mature version of it. Maybe,
okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
Look, I ain't giving no fucks in this, no buts. I'm tired of making old boy run in. Look at him, then he go. Just trying to be that old town hero. Yeah, I could be good. Just chasing that side of the hood, but there he go. Just trying to be that old town. Hold up. I ain't talking about trauma. Don't need a new miss to bring up my money. Check your password, you can buy out. Be attacking the E, yeah, you know the procedure. Not these days, we're getting crazy.
Homies, baby, see me. I'm just too much drama. Box on, take your ass home. Get out of my head. Bears always keep running up. You try to pay harder, I'm breaking, cause I'm running low. They'll be wherever you go.
Is there anything about the way your songs have developed and your sound has developed that you needed to get out of Winnipeg for? Like, are there things that you wouldn't have maybe been inspired by or been influenced by if you'd stayed here?
Honestly, yeah. I think I would have not made the record so weird. Like, honestly, I think I was like, I played it pretty safe in Winnipeg, I think just because I just wanted to feel comfortable. But like, I think with like moving, I was like, let's just write and just like not really care too much about the outcome and just like write without the idea of like, oh, you're this type of artist, you're this type of artist. Just write whatever comes to mind. Yeah, I just let myself just not think about the outside noise as much because there was less of it. So
yeah, that makes sense.
So, you know,
I mean, obviously you've been there 2 years now. I'm sure you know plenty of people there now. You have your own community that you've developed and everything. But does it help being away from sort of your longtime friends, family, neighbors, like everybody in Winnipeg that sort of knows you outside of the music thing? Does it help at all to write and create?
It's kind of like a back and forth. It's like, it's funny, like after moving, I was like, man, I had like access to a whole studio. Like I was able to work at a collector for everything. It's like I had all my friends and everything. But why the fuck did I move? It was so stupid. But then I was just like, oh, but honestly, it's like I think I kind of just needed a, more than anything, the perspective was the most important thing of just like, oh, okay, cool. What else is there outside of the bubble of where I'm writing from? I think that it just changes. Like it's definitely not easier to write from out of Winnipeg. Oh, I'm always writing, but it's just like, I think I'm always going to like incorporate, like I said, like the Winnipeg assistance, because that's just familiar and that's cozy. And it's like, I have people that have been on the journey, like you, like collector, like people that have been around for the journey for so long. It's like, it feels wrong to just be like, cool, thanks, I'm going to go do this. You know, it's like, even if it's like I work in a whole new studio, I would still love to bring it back just to give it like that Winnipeg something.
Yeah,
just because that feels right and it just feels like cozy and exciting to be able to do stuff with folks from Winnipeg. It's yeah.
Well, and I don't want to dwell on Winnipeg for the whole conversation here, but like I guess the last thing I want to ask you about that is, you know, probably the last thing I ask you about. Like, do you does Winnipeg have, what kind of cultural cachet does Winnipeg have in Montreal? I mean, does the fact that you're from Winnipeg mean anything?
We clump together. It's like so funny when like a person that's not from Winnipeg meets a Winnipeg person. There's like six of us that just clam. Right? It's just like, man, we really are creatures of like community, and I think it's because our community is so tight knit. It's just like, we know people and we just stick to them. It's so interesting to see that, because other province, like Calgarians, are very docile, lonely people. And I'm like, okay, weird. I feel like Edmonton people get along great with Winnipeg people because of we're both just back prairie folk. And then having like Newfies and like people from like Nova Scotia, it's like, they kind of just float. They have those go between a bunch of different people. It's really interesting. But I think the reputation for Winnipeg people is just that we come in a horde rather than just one off. And we're very friendly.
Yeah, apparently we are. I mean, like, despite all evidence to the contrary. But yeah, we have that reputation.
Super friendly folks.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, you know, this doesn't matter where you live. This record is getting heard across Canada and it hopefully elsewhere.
True.
What does, have you had any reaction sort of from places outside of Canada as far as people being interested in what you're doing? Just because I wonder what you're perceived as musically, like, you know, in the States or somewhere. Because again, it's hard, the nebulous thing, right? It's hard to pin down what you're doing. And I wonder if like, you know, maybe Canadians are more attuned to sort of that type of musical diversity in the same album. I don't know.
Yeah, it's so funny. This record is the first record that feels like Canada shouting it out, which is so funny. It's like every record, like the last record felt like it was everywhere but Canada.
Okay.
And this one is like the opposite, where it's just like, obviously there's like little press, like there's press things popping up in like the States and the UK and everything, but like this time around it feels like Canada is like the one that's like the loudest, like, yeah, like look at this thing. Like, that's so weird because it's just the first time it's ever really happened that way.
Yeah.
Like I had a combo with Tom Power recently, which was really cool. And like Polaris has been like doing a lot of stuff with, I'm like, oh, this is sick to like kind of have the backing of, I don't know, the Canadian industry being like, we support this record. I'm like, that's different, especially because it's, you know, it's like from the weird beginnings of the record. It's just like, I've like this whole journey. It's like, man, I really was not expecting that while making Bedroom Pop, you know?
Yeah, yeah, totally, yeah. Because it definitely did seem like a thing where you were just sort of making this like in a bedroom at first, yeah. and seeing what.
And it's
sort
still of, bad, which is crazy.
Yeah.
When I slow down and I'm looking right back at you, I've got to think, what did I do? Promise to you, dedication, my motivation is true, and I'm sorry for the things that I put you through. What is on your mind? Cause I'm always writing clouds on my head.
What do you do then when you get that kind of attention? I mean, like, you're getting, like, you know, things like Q, which is huge, right? Like, that's a massive cultural thing in Canada.
Very,
like,
very
to,
cool.
To get that opportunity. Like, what does that mean sort of for you as an artist? Is that, do you feel more responsibility now that you're out there more, now that people are sort of hearing your name and hearing your music?
Like, weirdly, no. Like, weirdly, no. I feel like it's just, like, I feel it just gives some sense of validation. It's like, oh, cool. It's like, I guess I'm doing something right, you know. It's like, I guess I should keep going. I guess it's like the question mark. Yeah, I think it's just like, it's cool to see like people like that, like think that this is something worth people's time. I think the validation of that is really, really nice. And I appreciate it too, because it's like, when you put out a record, I was just talking about this, like, you put out a record and you hope that it just like explodes on impact, where it's like every press thing, but it's like some records don't exist that way. Sometimes yeah. it takes a few months for them to, especially with an album this eclectic, it's like I kind of managed my expectations early on to the release, where I'm like, it's not going to be everything immediately, because one, if I was a more established artist, I think it'd be easier to do that. But since people are like, well, what is this guy? It's like they're looking at a difference. Like, it's not going to be something you figure out maybe on the first go, maybe on the second go. But if you come back for like the third go, I think you'll understand that like there's a lot more to it. And I think, yeah, the journey will be more interesting than just like the here's the cool record and then here's a live show experience. Kind of like what we were talking about last time, like the whole world idea of it is like the thing that this record kind of needs and will kind of help it exist longer. The longevity, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously people are seem to be enjoying it so far. I mean, I know it's very fresh.
I hope so.
At this point, you're getting attention. People are obviously reviewing it and interviewing you and whatnot. What happens if with this one or another one in the future, I mean, what happens if you release an album and no one gets it? People are just like, what the hell is this? I think, I'm sure you'll keep creating because that's what you do, but like,
of course,
what would something like that do? Like, I don't want to give you a negative hypothetical, but like, it's just, assuming the record just absolutely bombed, right?
I feel like this record in my brain is that right now. Or my, like, I think it's like, this is a really heady, like, it's kind of heady. Like, it's like, yeah, it's like in my brain, what happens, I think it's like, what I say is, it's really not my job to figure it out for people. It's like, I can explain it as best as possible, but like, ultimately, people can and will form their own idea of it.
Yeah.
No matter what I do. And I think what that does for me, it's like, I was even just saying, it's like, sick, now that I put out this kind of heady, weird album, I actually now think I can go back and like, all right, let's just do a simple record next time. Let's just do like a straightforward, no bullshit ass narrative, like being overly, it's just like, oh, I can actually simplify things without dampening the thing, because I think I've already done the complex ideas, and now I can actually show that I have more range by doing something simpler and more accessible.
Yeah,
if that's where I want to go. So yeah,
I know it was a kind of a weird question. I'm just thinking like, what happens if it fails? But I
mean, if it fails, you just keep going and you just keep grinding, I guess.
Well, and it's interesting you mentioned too a few minutes ago about not being a very established artist yet. But I mean, I would argue that you are very established. I mean, you've been doing, I know what you mean, but you've been doing this for a long time, right? This is sort of like the second album that's got this kind of larger totally. Attention. But I mean, you're not like a rookie at this, you know? You've been plugging away for a while.
I guess so. It's just like, you know, it's like, no matter how many times you do this and how long you do it, until people know you, you're always an emerging artist.
Sure, and
that's such a mind fuck where you're like, I've been doing this for so long and it's like, I'm still an emerging artist. I've gone on so many tours and like done all these things and played these shows and I put out records, but like, because people don't know me out of the bubble, it's just like, oh, well. And I think it's also just trickier now with social media, or it's like, 5 years ago, none of that really would have mattered. But now that all the metrics are involved, it just complicates the value of you. It's like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like, if you don't have 100,000 followers, you're still kind of in the emerging space where it's like, but then those kids don't ever play shows and I've never, you know, stood on a stage. It's weird like that.
Well, then you get some niche artists too who've never sold. You get someone who got like 1,000 followers, and that's all they're ever going to get, and they're amazing.
Yeah,
they've been doing it for 30 years, but yeah, it's so weird.
There it is, and they have that like that cult following. I think Alex G is a really cool example where it's like he's had like a long cult following until recently, where he's like jumped over into the mainstream, and now he's filling up bigger rooms, and people are like, "Oh, okay, longevity. He's been doing it long enough to the point where it's jumped over." So.
Yeah,
maybe that's my trajectory. Who knows? It
could be. And then you got the people who from Winnipeg who heard you like, you know, 20 years earlier, and they're exactly. like, we're the real fans. Yeah,
yeah. I'm excited for that. I'm hopeful for that. You know, that's kind of why I was like, oh, I want to play a home show, because hopefully people show up and give a shit. That'd be hilarious if I play and it's like empty. I'll be like, bad.
Everywhere but Winnipeg is packed. When you come here, it's just crickets. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'd be like, okay, cool. That's good to know.
Now look at you, snag my motherfucker.
They forgot I'm here.
Sitting right down, feelings from the back door, always in the view, coming back around. I had to kick my feet up, swerve back, nigga maintain it. I had to believe that I wasn't insane with the migraine. So if you ever need to wild out, if you ever need to give no fucks, maybe it's a moment of importance. Only get your point across, let them know, so let them find out, let them know, so watch them seesaw. They don't know, but don't let them project the shit that make your dick sigh. Give a hoop, so let me skip the details and play out the intro. If you don't crack your step roll, just watch the buff top pistachios. And when he blow up, look at me go. If he ask Coolio Negro.
But when you're doing so, I mean, when you're planning a hometown show, I mean, do you sort of have this expectation that it's going to be full of people? I mean, it'll obviously be people you know there coming to see you because they haven't seen you in a while. Do you change the set list for a local show just because you have this longer history here?
Yeah, well, I think I tried, like, in my brain, I'm like, well, I'll play the songs that are the most notable right now, and I'll play the songs that people... I think I just try to make it special by like, all right, maybe we'll do a cover. Maybe we'll, I'll make sure to like talk to the crowd more because I know the people. And maybe I'll dress the stage. And like, the expectation is, I don't know if there is a massive expectation to like sell a bunch of tickets ever. I think it's like, it'd be sick if we filled the whack. That'd be awesome. There's a chance it doesn't happen. That's also cool too. But it's like, at least by doing a show in Winnipeg, it's like, y'all, I'm like not trying to forget about y'all. Hopefully you don't try to forget about it. It's like it's a reciprocation thing, you know? It's like I don't have to play in Winnipeg ever again, but I want to do it because it's like it means something to me. And I would hope that by doing that, it's like showing that I care about the community. And hopefully the community shows up and shows some care. And that'd be sick.
It'd be great for sure. Yeah.
So, that'd be awesome.
I'm going to try and get this out before your show. So what are the details of the local show?
Oh, yeah. So the show is out. The show's out. The show is on October 20th at the WEC think Doors are at 7, Music at 8. It's an earlier show. Or Music at 7. I don't remember.
I'll link to it. I'll link to it in the show notes. People can click on it.
Thank you, Sam. Yes, but it's on the 20th. Shows at 7:30 to be safe. You know, just the... but yeah, just doing it there. Jana Jacobs is opening, as well as Drew, who's going to be doing some cool stuff. And yeah, it'll be a great time. I'll have a bunch of vinyl. I'll have some new merch as well for the first time. And a lot of these songs will be played for the first time in Winnipeg. I'll be testing them out there. So it'll be a big debut.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's a good place to do it, obviously. I mean, yeah, as we've established.
Totally. 100%.
The good thing about this, you know, it's a podcast. Someone could hear it the day it comes out. They could hear it 7 years from now, 20 years from now. Apparently, I can never stop doing this, so it'll be existing.
I love the plug. I love it. It's so good.
So if someone's hearing this in like 2048, you know, what's the best way to find out more about what you're doing? Where can they hear your music? Where can they find out about upcoming shows and that kind of stuff?
To the people in 2048, if I'm talking to AI, I don't know who I'm talking to.
Yeah.
It would have been on IG. It would have been on Instagram. I'm the most active, but randomly, my TikTok is going crazy. It's like, just so I started posting like mailman content, and it just like just blew up. And I was like, this is so stupid. This is so dumb. And the labels like keep going, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this. But yeah, now I have a bunch of TikTok followers, and I guess TikTok is a place to find me too, but Instagram, because I'm a millennial, is probably more my speed and more where I'm posting regularly.
And then the album is available on all the, I'm assuming, the various
albums
platforms.
Available out and available now. Album's out now, and I'll be on tour shortly after the show on the 20th. I'll pretty much be driving to Washington the day after, and then we started like a long tour, and then going on tour with an artist named Noso, and then going taking a little break, and then doing another tour with a band called Catbite in December.
Is that the
ska
band?
Around
Catbite the ska band? Wow, yeah, that's crazy. That's wild.
It's so funny. It's like a ska band in December in all these hot southern states. I think it'll be a fun time.
How did that even get, like, who put you guys together? That's random.
Their manager is like shout out to Sean. He's like an actual genuine fan of mine, and he's been such a huge support. He pretty much set up that tour with La Luz that I did in 2023. He's like, oh, I have a band, I want you to go on tour with. I'm like, sure, okay, I'll go on tour with anybody. And he set that up, and then he's like, Jay, I got another band I would love for you on tour with. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure that'd be cool. Same deal. Catbite. I was like, touring in the southern states in December? Yeah.
With a ska band.
Are you kidding?
With
a ska band.
Yeah.
Right when Skate 4 comes out, it feels like, you know, some kind of like holy power has come together within that. A new skateboarding game and going on tour with a ska band. So, yeah.